Welcome to Help from Future Self.
Hello, Archons. Welcome to Help from Future Self, the conversational KeyForge podcast by and for KeyForge friends. I'm your host, Sydney, and I am joined by a special guest today. I am joined by the captain, aka Jason, from the Nordic KeyForge podcast and the Captain's Deck channel on YouTube. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Hey, Sydney. So good to be here. This is so exciting.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to have you here today. I absolutely love, so I listen to, obviously, the Nordic KeyForge podcast, and I love your dad jokes, and I am super excited to have you here today to talk all about them. You know, totally, just the dad jokes, just the yeah. jokes that you make on the podcast. No, we're going to be talking quite a bit about what it is to be a parent in KeyForge, because that's a thing. It's wonderful finding out when, you know, someone you're talking to on the other side of the world also has kids your age, also potty training. It's kind of cool. Then you also get into how in the world do you play KeyForge on top of having a family? So really looking forward to that conversation. But before that, let's let everyone know who you are and where you're from and how awesome you are.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Where do I start? We can start from my birth if you want to, but we don't need to go back that far. My name's Jason Kirk, which is why I have the captain as my nickname, the Captain Kirk.
Love it.
You know, I'm just playing on that the whole time. That's me. I've been living in Sweden for 11 years, although I'm British from the start. I'm trying to drop the British side a little bit more at the moment after the whole Brexit thing. So
good.
I'll actually, yeah, it's difficult, because I sound so British. So I've been living in Sweden for 11 years, and it's absolutely amazing here. I'm kind of living the life of my dreams. And then a few years ago, I was actually in the party. I had a party when I became a Swedish citizen, and someone came along and, as a gift, gave me two KeyForge decks.
That's amazing.
So that's where my journey started with KeyForge. And I didn't even know what this was. And actually, two other guests who play a lot of board games with, they had opened them and they had started playing this game together. And they didn't even have tokens. I think they were just making notes on a piece of paper, because one person had played them and one person hadn't. And I was like, okay. So a couple of days later, I opened up these decks and I started looking through, what is this game? Found some YouTube videos, went to buy some AOA when I went to the UK. Like, bought a starter deck and tried it out with my brother, who, you know, he's not really into card games.
Sure.
And then I kind of realized, this is a really fun game. The amount of stuff happened, so I bought a few more decks, and I brought a few more decks, 200 decks later. that's quite a small collection with a lot of decks that other people have. But I realized one of the two decks that I was given on that time, it was a deck called the Captain of Novaron. Or Novaton or something like that. So one of my first two decks was a captain's deck.
Oh my
so
gosh.
I that started my collection. I was like, okay, this is gonna be the way through. So I got involved online, started playing a few games on TCO, really wanted to improve, and then Karen Brown, I got into a game against Karen Brown, and she gave me a few pointers and then invited me into the Swindle team, which is where we know each other.
Yeah.
From. And so my journey has just kind of progressed there, and I wanted to do podcasting. So then I decided to actually, let's start something with other people who know about the game and know more about the game than I do.
Sure.
Because I still suck at KeyForge. I maybe don't suck anymore, but I'm still not as good a player as everyone else that I host the podcast with.
It's that age-old trick of surrounding yourself by people smarter than you so that you look amazing.
Exactly. And I just blend in there until they realize that I'm now in the iron level of Nordic KeyForge League, and they're up in gold and everything. It's absolutely fine. It's being a parent in KeyForge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right? We'll get on to that later. Yeah, exactly. So, so I did that. And then I started, Dark Tidings came out, and I thought, okay, let's just buy a display, open it on stream. And that's how the Captain's Deck thing is. There's not much content creation out there. There's more and more now, but there needs to be more.
Absolutely.
So, I always encourage people, just, yeah, open up your decks online, start streaming. People will be interested.
Fantastic. And I absolutely agree with you too. I love the variety of content that we have right now because we have podcasts from all over the world, and I annexed the Canadian podcast. So a small teeny part of it is American, but like also like a Swedish podcast, and all of the different content that we get, I think is fantastic. And the more the merrier.
Oh, totally, totally. And there's still things that I've got on my list that I've promised my viewers to do. So the bathtub episode with playing Dark Tidings on stream with me in a bathtub is going to happen.
Love it.
For Jan, if I don't know if Jan from Finland even listens to this one, but he's the one that challenged me to do it. And I'm still going to do it. So,
oh my gosh, that's the best.
That's going to be coming.
I cannot wait. That's going to be amazing. Awesome. Well, I am really excited to get into our topic, but did you have any news?
Yeah, like about an hour ago, I got a message from one of the owners at my local game shop, Manatorsk, which is in Kvivre in Sweden. And he was asking me about, okay, how many pre-release packs should we deliver? And, you know, can you get enough players together to do this and stuff? So we're in talks to get that booked as soon as we know when the pre-released weekend should be. Because
oh my gosh,
they haven't been told the pre-release weekend yet.
Right.
And because it's still going through Asmodee and they're still having that relationship. And I guess they don't know when the decks are going to get here, et cetera, et cetera. But there is talks locally for me to play Keyforge in real life. I've got 6 friends who all backed the game found.
Oh my gosh.
So it's going to be a case of like, yeah, you've just spent a lot of money on the game found, but let's come and spend some more.
Oh my gosh. Well, it gives me goosebumps, the fact that like local game stores are like starting to be given the information that they need to host things in person. Like that's the kind of stuff we've been missing this whole time.
And the big thing here is it's outside the US as well.
Yes.
Because obviously Ghost Galaxy, they're a small company. They don't have the power that Asmodee had without paying for it, I guess.
Right.
So, you know, it's not strange that we're not getting what we had before, in my opinion. So, but the fact that actually game shops in Europe and around the world are getting news of a pre-release next month.
Right.
I'm just like, wow, okay.
That's
We're
so
still
going
to wait half a year for our game found. but we're going to get decks in shop, which is the better thing, which is I would prefer shops to get it before I get my game found.
I think that being able to play it in person with people will make it even more exciting when you do get your game found, because you don't have to. So right now, my Tuesday game nights, I go up to Wisconsin to actually play with some of the Archon's Corner folks, because they actually have a robust group of people showing up every week. And some of them have gotten their pledges yet and some of them have not. And so JR, who got his pledge, every single week, he brings the like sealed decks, puts them on the table, and then we share in his bountifulness and play some sealed woe. So it is incredibly kind of him to be doing that, but like the supply is limited until stores get it.
Yeah, definitely. So does he sell the decks on to the people who want to use them, or does he take them home after they've been
opened? My knowledge, I think he takes them home, and so they're still his, but we get to like open the sealed decks and play them. So
which is best of both worlds.
Exactly. Totally. But so that's really exciting news. Thank you for sharing that with us. So everything that I wanted to talk to you about like is flooding my head right now, because one of the things you and I bonded over really quickly is that we have kids of very similar ages, and both of us are content creators, and we play Keyforge, and we have a family. So there is a lot going on right now, especially with it, you know, being summer and things happening. I don't know about you, but the weather here in Chicago, we have about like 3 months of perfect weather. And so everything awesome happens in those 3 months. Every art festival, every farmer's market, every parade, like literally we are out of this house every single weekend. And that's about to come up. And then also the Philly Vault Tour is about to come up. And also like people are starting to get their pledges. So like there's just so much going on, and fitting in Keyforge has been a challenge for me. I don't know. What about you?
I mean, I completely get it. And the other big challenge for us as well is that Sweden, the whole country takes a holiday for 6 weeks in the summer.
Called
industry semesters, like industry holiday. And so all companies in Sweden, they understand, it's like a given agreement, but for these 6 weeks, everyone is down to like, you know, minimal staff. And so you just, people work over the summer, minimal staff, but everyone takes off their holiday just so they can relax and not really worry about so much things. Obviously shops still need to work and everything, but if you're working in most industries, you get that. So, but then everyone goes on holiday. So when the game, my local game store asked me today, like, how many people do you think you'll be able to get mid-July to play Keyforge? I'm thinking, in August, I could have said 12.
Right.
Maybe mid-July, maybe four. And I'm away for 4 weeks. I'm going to the UK for 10 days.
That's so exciting.
I'm going on holiday with my family to meet a load of Annie's family. They got a big family meetup.
Oh, that's
in
lovely.
Gotland, which is like on the an island, a 3 hours ferry drive towards Russia, and that on the east there.
That's
so I'm there for 10
so
days.
Awesome. Yeah,
which
seriously.
Is great. Yeah.
how but much it's just like, Forge do you think you'll get in over those days?
Yeah, that's not so much. I'm there's one person who lives in Gotland, which I've reached out to to see if, you know, he can, you know, wants to meet up and play.
Totally.
And then there's a game shop about half an hour away from my brother's place in the UK.
Ooh.
in Yeovil. So he lives down in Limerie, just on the south coast.
Cool.
And so there's a game shop he goes to in, I think it's in Yeovil. So if anyone from the UK is listening and you're in Yeovil and you want to have a game of Keyforge at the end of June, beginning of July, come find me.
There's a non-zero chance you might play Keyforge over that 10-day span. Yep, I get where you're coming from.
So, but yeah, it's like the summer coming up is a really difficult time to actually to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the time when I'm not working so much, so I can play with my collection, you know, sort my collection, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And I'm in the same boat where I'm feeling like I have a lot of like personal vacations also coming up. Like I mentioned on a previous episode, I just spent a week in Tennessee at an Airbnb and tried to meet up with Joe from ABR for
I listened to that yesterday. Yeah.
And I just wasn't able to make my kids cooperate so that I could make it into the city itself. And I've been feeling the pressure recently because every single weekend we have soccer or birthday parties or events. And so I think that it's been something where I've started to schedule my Keyforge time. Like right now, I obviously I schedule times to record the podcast, like with you and Blake, and I make that a priority in my life because it is so super important to me. But then when it comes to like the actual playing of games, like Philly's coming up soon, and I've only played my Alliance deck in person against an opponent other than myself 2 times, because those are the only times, like these Tuesdays that I've had available to me. So like, I'm going to make Keyforge happen. It has to be scheduled.
Yeah. And you're totally right there. And it's a part of our life. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, yes, it's a hobby and family has to take priority. But on the other side of that, you know, it's a hobby that we do to kick back and use our brain in a different way to trying to work out, is my son going to poo now? And do I need to get him to the toilet?
Yes.
You use your brain in different ways.
So I feel like that reminds me, like I actually have to preface, if I am going to play a game on TCO and it isn't my time, like it isn't like after they're asleep or early in the morning or like my lunch break, if it isn't my time and I'm just hanging out with my family in the living room and I get some downtime, want to play a game on TCO, like I may in fact like preface my game once we enter it, or even like I've recently started titling my games because it's a lot easier to find an opponent on the same wavelength as me. But I'd say like I won't join the casual because I'm obviously like I don't play decks at a casual level, but I will say something like no time limit or may walk away or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's it's a lot easier for me to communicate if something may completely and totally interrupt me. Like kid scrapes his knee, I need to like go grab him a Band-Aid, and it takes a little bit of priority over me picking logos, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And putting that, and that's the thing I think on TCO, where casual and competitive people think of it as the deck level in there. And I go, and I do that as well. Like I won't take anything above a 72 into casual, because it's just, even though that's not the definition, it's just not done. And so, but at the same time, if you're competitive, there's a way of going, I can't play my high SAS deck when I'm working, because if I get a call, if I'm having a late lunch and I'm just kind of a quick game to look through this deck, it does happen now and then. Hoping my boss isn't listening here. but they will be waiting, but it's a really, really difficult level there. So you're right there. But then even like in the evenings, if we're playing an NKFL game, then, you know, you have to say that, you know, sorry, my kid has just woken. My wife was working evenings. I'm the only one here. I need to go and make sure he's okay.
Right.
And I think there's the understanding in the community.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I have found so many people, like after we get talking about Keyforge, like Keyforge is our introduction. And then I will mention, like, I have no problem like talking about my kids, especially if it's relevant to the moment. And then someone will say, oh, I totally understand. Mine is at home, or, you know, XYZ. Yeah. So this community has been fantastic about that. And I feel like that's way more common in the Keyforge community than it is in a lot of other gaming communities I've been in.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think there are a lot more parents that play Keyforge. And definitely even more now. When I was preparing for what we were talking about, I kind of realized, I feel like I've talked about this before into a microphone. And I was like, actually, the seventh episode of the Nordic Keyforge podcast, we talked about carving out time when you have a family. For Keyforge. So very similar things were coming up here. And we had this very same conversation here, is the fact the amount of parents actually playing Keyforge. And it's because you don't have to build a deck. You can just pick up and play. It's so easy to get into, which is really, really great. But because of that, people are more understanding. And that's why we're such a great community.
I completely agree. Because like, so I feel like the casual entrance to the game is much, much more appealing to someone who has a little bit less time. But then something you also have here is the fact that we look incredibly obsessed. And even though that level of obsession is there, the time commitment isn't as obsessive as it might look like we are. So I heavily rely on other people to help me be as obsessed as I am, you know. Like I actually, so on Tuesdays, my parents take the kids on Tuesdays. So I am able to drive all the way out to Wisconsin. And when I need to practice or research something, I use the Swindle team. Like it is an invaluable resource to have a group of people willing to help you. And obviously, like I also offer that back as well. But the fact that the community has come together to make it so that I can focus what I need to do when I need to do it means that I'm not spending like 6 hours in front of a computer. And you know, props to those who can. Like if you're listening and you don't have a family and you are able to like spend all of your time on Keyforge, I am slightly jealous of you.
Oh, I know. And like, I've been playing a game, like especially during the pandemic and when there's the quiet time of Keyforge. I've been playing, I think, guess for some people, the game that should not be mentioned. but it's a fabulous game if anyone knows what that means.
F-A-B.
Yeah. So I've been playing some Flesh and Blood and I've built a couple of decks, and that's just what people are playing in my community at the moment. And I made a really good friend who, he's big into the game, and I've been learning about that. And I've been trying to learn more with Alliance coming out, more about deck building with an actual deck building game. And we've done some drafts, and it's such a complex game, and it's actually really fun to play. But the people that are really good at the game, they are good. They don't have kids. I don't think many of them are married even. They don't have the in-law commitment as well. Because that's a commitment.
That's a commitment.
Oh man, that's a commitment. then you have, you know, they don't have kids and they can put a whole more effort into the game, tinkering with their deck, spending so much time with their deck without even playing a game. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, well, why am I not at that level? Ah, that's right.
Right.
Because I don't have that. And so there is that threshold is a lot lower with KeyForge.
Sure. Absolutely. There. For sure. And go ahead. Oh, and yeah. One of the things that I was thinking about too is that it is really kind of nice to have my kids like with me when I'm thinking about these decks, because when we created the personalized decks, Chris, my husband, actually created like the names that he submitted were my kids' decks. And those names are actually like those decks are actually quite meaningful for me. Mm. And when I was pregnant with my second with Becca, I actually used the KeyForge card mother and the KeyForge card daughter as my pregnancy announcement. And
very
so like
nice.
Integrating them into my KeyForge life, even though they are unfortunately too young to play yet. Four and 2 years old. We're just getting the letters for our 4-year-old. So until he can read like Yixel Bolter or something off of the Mars card,
I know, right?
might wait a little while longer. But
I think starting with Mars could also be like a negative impact on reading ability with KeyForge.
Is that English, mommy?
Yeah, I mean, my kids are going to be they're double dual sprawl, they're double language.
Oh my
gosh,
that's
amazing!
So
they're Henry speaking really good English and Swedish, and so even trying to bring in these Mars words as well, I'm just like, let's wait till he's 8.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic! So do you play? You said you have a 7-year-old right now.
No, I have a 4.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. They both kind of turn 2 and 5 in September, October this year. So
exciting.
They're kind of more like 3 months away from their birthdays.
Oh my gosh.
And so like, you know, we're potty training the 1.5-year-old now, which has gone amazingly, by the way. A bit of backlash today, a couple of piles of poo on the kitchen floor.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. So that's Edie. Well, okay, I can neither confirm or deny that Edward, our youngest, was named after my favorite card, Edie.
Love it.
I mean, I can't confirm it.
Oh, of course.
In either way, but he has, I could say he has been releasing his archives everywhere this week. So,
bad jokes. Like, this is why I love listening to you on the Nordic KeyForge podcast, because every time you crack one of those, I just die laughing.
Yeah. That took me 20 minutes to think of earlier, by the way. They are in, like, I can say to Henry when he kind of keeps asking me questions when I'm trying to put him down, I've got a Nordic KeyForge League game, like, at 8 o'clock, and he's still, like, you know, 10:15, and he's asking me, Daddy, what are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing then? What are we doing then? What are we doing then? I was like, you know, Daddy's going to go and play KeyForge with a friend. It's like, okay, Daddy, you know, he got to the thing where he understands that I'm going to go and play KeyForge thing now. And he finds my playmats as well. It's like picked up the Sanctum one from the with the big Sanctum Knight kneeling down with the sword and stuff. He's like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah. And so he loves the artwork and he loves it. And it's like, I want to play KeyForge, and picks up my decks. And I'm thinking, okay, no, that one I paid for. that's, a, you know, have this 55 SAS one that I'm never going to touch. So he kind of gets interested a little bit there, but I'm kind of trying to get him interested in just games in general.
Sure.
Like we play kind of like Snap and Memory and those kinds of games to get him just kind of enjoying play.
Right, absolutely. We actually have some Haba games. So that's a company that makes games specifically for younger kids. And my son absolutely loves the games, and Becca will absolutely watch us play. The problem is, like, in any of them that have cards, he's had a hard time I'm not ruining them. And I am terrified of handing him Keyforge cards. So he really likes the art. Like, he will watch over our shoulder when Chris and I play. And Becca thinks it's absolutely gorgeous. And they point out their favorite colors when they see them. And he's not allowed near the decks themselves. Like, I had a hard time letting them have the plushies because I was these are beautiful, pristine. I love them. They mean so much to me. And you're just going to like wipe your boogers on them and hug them really close while you're sitting on the potty. And like, it's all right. It's okay. I have more than one. That one can be the sacrifice. It's okay.
I mean, the getting a fuzzy Gruen plushie is something that I would just love to do. And now you can buy them. But then I don't know where you can buy them because I just didn't have the funds to go for that game found level.
Oh,
so I'm still trying. I'm still not getting one of these plushies. And I kind of said to my wife, who doesn't really care so much about board games so much and about this. And she's like, but Henry's already got so many cuddly toys. And Henry's like, and I'm just like,
is this
not for Henry? This is for me. Why? Oh my. Yeah.
Oh, I'm just waiting for
trying to have that conversation.
Yeah, the Blorb plushie, because like right now
is that a thing?
Oh, no, it isn't yet. I hope they make it one
do you have inside information?
Wait, sorry. Don't. I wish I did.
I'm trying to look for tells on your face now to see if there's like a kind of, I really shouldn't have said that. No, that's not going to be it. No, but they should do a board plushie. I really hope they do as well.
Yeah. Because Chris is really into Arkham Horror and a lot of the other games we play. Like, we have a ton of Arkham Horror games. And so we also have, there are children's books that are based on Arkham Horror and they're adorable. Oh. Like, there's a Dr. Seuss style one. There is the ABCs of Cthulhu. There is a Goodnight Cthulhu book. And so our kids are actually like slightly familiar with what Cthulhu looks like. But all of these books, because they're for children, have the a little less terrifying cartoonish version.
I would hope so.
And they think the fuzzy Gruen is Cthulhu. So they see the fuzzy Gruen and it looks like the cartoonish versions they have in their book. And so they call it Cthulhu. And I'm, you know, there could be something sinister underneath that really cute smile.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't show them the card where they're getting, is it the Mars card where all the fuzzy Gruens are getting running away from a Mars creature.
Right, totally.
That's a bit. So, I was like, poor fuzzy Gruens. Yeah.
One of the things you have here, and I absolutely love the way that you phrase this. So be in control of what you take from the game. And I think that's something that we've kind of touched on before, but the idea of it's not only what you put into it, but what you take away from it. And what that made me think of to myself is that, like, no matter how much fun I am having with my kids, Keyforge is also fun. And so as long as the time that I do spend with Keyforge is giving me fun, then it is worth the time that I do spend doing it. And I think that, like, it is never going to give me as much fun as my children give me. It will also never give me as much disappointment and poop cleaning as my children give me. So it's the way that you phrase it that really, really hit hard with me.
Yeah, and I think this is actually something that Zach Armstrong mentioned in a previous Call of Discovery episode. And I think it was more kind of before Ghost Galaxy bought the game and trying to kind of encourage people not to give away everything. Something's going to be coming soon, please.
Talk about inside information.
But I think it was around that time, and it was, and I think he said, you know, be in control of your own Keyforge experience. And so that really stuck with me. And actually, well, this is a game I rarely play with people in person. I mainly play online. However, I have the Keyforge adventures. I have the decks that do all this stuff. I'm in control of what I do with this game and how the enjoyment I can take away with it. Absolutely. If I'm not enjoying something, then I don't need to play it. I don't need to go there. I don't need to be involved in games where, you know, people are making me feel bad. You know, I can just be like, okay, that's fine. I'll just, you know, I can do that. I'm not going to concede because I'm having a bad game.
Right.
But if people are being, you know, the odd occasion where people are being a bit abusive on TCO, and it rarely ever happens, it's like, well, actually, I don't want to be involved in this. I don't want to, you know, that's not going to make my Keyforge experience any good. So you go and enjoy yourself and we don't have to play again.
It's also like I have an oddly an epically well-known positive attitude because I surround myself with the positivity that I want in my own life. And KeyForge to me is 100% that positivity. Like I will always take away happiness from this game.
I mean, Sydney, I think you are the most positive person within this community. and that's within every community, I think.
Oh, it's just
so much positivity coming out with this. Like, actually, no, that's fine that we have to wait another 6 months for our decks. But it's great because KeyForge is back. But it's true. But, you know, because people are investing in the game, people are developing the game, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not sour that the decks haven't come here because the game is being developed, for example.
Right.
But the positivity just comes out of you, which is awesome.
Well, thank you so much. And if there's any luck in the world, then I will have rubbed off some of that to my kids and they'll be just happy-go-lucky children. And we'll wait and see.
Yeah. But being in control is really important. And you get that choice. Like we have the ability to make choices. I mean, that's being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. No one forces us into playing KeyForge.
Absolutely.
No one is forcing any of my friends. No one's forcing any people in the NKFL. Like we had 136 people in the league last season, which is crazy. No one's forcing these people to play.
Right.
They're choosing to play. They're choosing to play this format. That people are choosing to play ABR. People are choosing to spend their time doing this. So you have the choice. You have the power to choose how you enjoy this. If you want to do, you know, I'm going to do another plug here for people just to start creating content. If you want to do something, just go out and do it. There is very rarely people going to be negative about something you do with KeyForge.
Right. It's just so everything comes out of the love of the game. And
yeah.
I mean, that hopefully I am foreseeing this game lasting forever and me playing this game forever and me being old and decrepit and my kids have to visit me in the old folks home to bring me the new set that just came out.
Set 50 with the 39th house that they bought.
Perfect. Love it.
Brobnar's still there.
Yes, absolutely. Totally. That's fantastic. Awesome. So do you have any last thoughts on being a family man in KeyForge before we go on to our titular segment?
I think the biggest thing, and I kind of written here today, is that it's very, very important. And I've found this myself before, is as much as you love the game, as much as you are obsessed but other people might think you're obsessed or whatever, or as much as you just want to spend more time in here, prioritizing your family, if you're in the position to do that, is the most important thing for being able to have the time to play it. There was a time, I think last year, a couple of years ago, where I started the podcast and that was a new thing and I wanted to commit to this. And I was also trying to play NKFL and two other tournaments and stuff online. I just bit off more than I could chew.
Mm-hmm.
And the hobby that my wife didn't really care so much about, because she was working a lot anyway, actually became more of a nuisance and started to be a bit of a resentment. And it started to affect our relationship a little bit.
Sure.
And so I had to take a reality check and go, well, this is just a game. It's an amazing game. We love this game. But I had to do a reality check and go, well, actually, yeah, I need to prioritize her and then carve out that time after that.
Good point.
And then let her know and let my friends know that, okay, this is an important thing for me. Doing the podcast, playing in the games, all this stuff, it's a really, really important part of my life as well. I would like to carve out time, but when your family know that you're their priority, it makes it easier to go, okay, Tuesday nights is my time for this.
Right. Yes, I couldn't agree more. The fact that it is a point in time where my kids are happy because they're with their grandparents, my parents are happy because they're with their grandkids, and my husband gets a couple hours to himself. Like, it is a fantastic combination of I have respected them because they know they come first, but then they are allowing me to be a whole person and have a hobby that may not include them as much as it used to. Like for Chris, he doesn't come out with me to Wisconsin, but he still plays KeyForge, and everyone is happy for everyone else in a situation like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like my, and it works out okay because when my wife is, when she's working full time, I mean, she works as a pastor.
That's wonderful.
And she works a lot with youth as well. So there are evenings involved in her job. Mm-hmm. And so then I can schedule my things around hers and we can schedule in our time together to invest in our relationship. Because we don't even want our kids to become more important than each other because then the kids will suffer from that. And so yeah, there's a whole kind of marriage course thing that we went on there. And but, you know, we want to prioritize right. But then we've realized that actually we do then get the time for the stuff that we want to do.
Absolutely.
Out from that. So I think that's the big thing is actually don't let your obsession get in the way of the relationships that you have with the people that are most important to you.
Oh, love it. And if we didn't have a titular segment, that would have been a great place to end on.
That really would have been.
We cannot end an episode of Help from Future Self without the titular segment.
Help from Future, Future Self.
Jason, you have one for us today.
I do. Oh man, I need to pinch myself right now because the amount of, I mean, I think I've listened to the majority of episodes and being the one to bring the Help from Future Self here, it's like, you know, the bucket list ticked off. My Help from Future Self is actually, it's actually a reminder, I think, of the best advice I've ever received on Help from Future Self.
Aww.
And or actually within Keyforge actually, and it's Blake's advice, he said, and it's kind of revolutionized my game, or it did at the time, and I took a big step forward in understanding the game. And then he even talked about this a few weeks ago as well. When he was talking about Woe and when you're talking about looking at the Archon card and everything. But the advice was like, don't look at your hand when you pick up your cards, don't look at your hand until it's your turn so that you can have full focus on what your opponent is doing. And so I tried that even on TCO. I kind of, you know, tried to cover it up and just looked at everything, what they were doing. And so I could then react to what the actual, what happened instead of me trying to plan, okay, what's the best thing I can do? And then he brought that up on an episode that you released like a month ago. And I realized, and I listened to that yesterday and I was, wait a second, that's not right. Because he was like, well, actually, if you're looking at the Archon card, you need to plan forward a little bit as well.
Sure.
But taking that time and using your time wisely is I think the best thing I think I've learned from Keyforge. And so it's kind of a repetition, if that counts, but it's such a good one.
That's a fantastic one. I absolutely love it. And I love that your idea, your concept has evolved since you first heard it. Because like that time, it's not just like you should do this exact thing. It is, what do you do with that time?
Yeah.
It's you draw your cards. And if it's important for you to pay close attention to what they're doing, or if you need that time to think, you can look at your cards. Like, I like that. That's great. Cool. Fantastic.
Well, you're very welcome.
So we are at the end of another episode and Help from Future Self is on Discord. Link in the show notes. I am SC Steele on TCO and Discord. And Jason, tell us again all about where people can find you, what you got going on.
I think I'm on most social media platforms, not that I post on them. I'm on Twitter as at runas2win. All one word. I'm on Discord as I think Jason the Captain Kirk, or just I don't even know what it is now, but I'm in most Discords as the Captain or Jason the Captain Kirk. And then you can also find me via the NKFL Discord in the Discuss the Podcast channel, and then also the Captain's Deck. I'm on Twitch, YouTube, and also Instagram. I created it a few months ago and I really should post more there, but you can find me in those places.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again so much for coming on. I really, really enjoyed chatting with you. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Help from Future Self. Until then, stay forward.